time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde and Brian Bulaga. Oh, baby, I'm on the cot. Take it away, the doctor of football. Intro, as you do so nicely.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I'm great, Brian. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. How's the weather out there in Green Bay since I'm nice and warm here in Florida? I heard it's cold.
Yeah, very cold. I just got done shooting my 10 o'clock stand-up for Channel 3 in Madison, and I'm back in my office. I still have my coat on. I did take off my gloves, but I'm thinking about putting them back on. I still have my winter beanie on. It is cold. So
it's that cold.
Spent some time. It's cold. I still can't believe these morons would go out there without sleeves to play football cold when I would watch you guys do that. Was there any reason other than you wanted to look like a badass? Was there any other reason why you refused that other than peer pressure? Because I think Josh Sitton eventually caved, right?
He might have done it once or twice, but for me it was just like, listen, I'd get too hot. Like I would get too hot. I never did it in high school because I learned early on, and like, here's a great story. And then I'll get into actually asking questions. Mm-hmm. So my senior year, we were playing a game. It was a little bit cold out, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear long sleeves. My mom bought me a brand new Under Armour thermal gear, and I have it on and I'm wearing it in pregame. And I'm just like dying. I'm like, I'm so hot. I go to our trainer and she cuts the sleeves of a brand new Under Armour long sleeve. And those at the time were like $85 a shirt. And she was not happy. So ever since then, I've just never worn long sleeves. And it's just been that way. So like, it's been since high school that I've just been like, I'm just not going to do because I know I'm going to overheat. And that's kind of just been my thing. So. It was certainly not trying to be a hardo. That's true. But I will say this: going out on that field against Minnesota, it wasn't even that cold. I was wearing a jacket. I was like, "There's no way I could be out here without a jacket on. Like, this is nuts. Like, these guys are crazy. I don't know what they're doing. Like, it wasn't even that cold either."
It's gonna be way worse on Sunday. That's for sure.
That's what I hear. But speaking of this week's game, what has the defensive guys or what have they been saying about this Bears run game, and what are their keys, or what are they saying is the importance and what they need to do to stop this thing? I mean, huge game against Philly. What are they saying about, you know, what they need to do to get this thing kind of bottled up on the inside?
Yeah. Well, they're saying that they're going to really miss Devontae Wyatt, which, they have to figure out a way. Next man up, as the old saying goes, and they brought in a guy off the practice squad of the New York Giants, Jordan Riley, who, a little bit like old Johnny Cash, he's been everywhere, man. He started out at North Carolina, then he went to a JUCO for a while, then he was at Nebraska, then he was at Oregon, seventh round pick by the Giants a couple of years ago, was on their practice squad. He goes from a 2-11 team to a team that could be the number one seed in the NFC. So he's pretty happy, but you know, he's new. So I don't know how much they'll play him, but it'll be the two rooks, Warren Brinson, and Nazir Stackhouse. And then it'll be obviously Colby Wooden. And then they're hopeful that, Carl Brooks, who had the big field goal block, in the game in Chicago last season, and it's been dealing with an ankle injury, didn't play on last Thursday against the Lions. They expect him, or they're hoping he'll be back too. So, you know, they're in a pretty good spot in terms of they've got basically five guys to fill in. But, you know, we talked to Halfley this afternoon, and, you know, he pointed out how well the Bears are running that stretch run game, and they're cutting it back into the gaps that are open. And a lot of those gaps were interior opportunities because they're three, as you and I talked about with Tausch yesterday. You know, their offensive linemen they've really solved their interior offensive line problems. And you know how important that is. So they've got two good backs, but their line is playing really well. I think that's the ball game. I think that's on each side of the ball. The two things that I've been saying all week are going to decide this are for the Packers defense, how effectively can they stop the Bears running game offensively? And then for the Packers offense, Jordan Love's thrown three picks all year. The Bears have intercepted a league-high 17 passes. You can't have Jordan Love throw picks. That's as simple as that. And if he does, then that gives the Bears a chance to win. I mean, it's still crazy to me, and I know you've still got Bears fan buddies from your growing up in the Chicagoland area. They're plus six in net point differential. That's all, plus six.
Yeah.
And they're 9-3. So, you know, they're 6-1 in one score games. And the Packers obviously are going to hope to avoid the things that have gotten other opponents of theirs beat. And you know, just lastly, we were talking to Bisacci a little while ago as well. And he pointed out that obviously they beat the Vikings largely because of a kickoff return, setting them up, right? And that's happened a couple times this season. So the special teams can't exactly stink it up either.
Yep. Is Quay scheduled to be back this week? Is he on track?
He is. So he was listed today as a full participant in practice. So that is obviously an upgrade for him. That is certainly progress for him. And to our point about the importance of them stopping the run, he's a really big piece of that, right? So they definitely would be in much better position if he's available to them. And it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he's got much rust from the time he's missed. But I think he's probably been having his best overall season since he's been here. And so they clearly need him to be part of that equation if they're going to stop the run on Sunday.
Yeah. Offensively, how do you see this game kind of playing out for Green Bay? Do you see it Jordan Love airing it out like in Detroit, or do you see them trying to kind of ground and pound with Chicago? Which way do you see this thing kind of, you know, or do you see Green Bay going with this thing? Because I, you know, the way Homer and I, we've talked about it a little bit late last week or late on Monday, we talked about it. Didn't really get into it too much because we, you know, had to, you know, off schedule as usual.
Sure.
But we thought, you know, maybe Green Bay has to set this thing up with the pass to run it, you know, spread Chicago out early and then run it late. But, you know, what was your take on it based on how Green Bay's kind of hasn't had much success early running the ball in games as we've seen as of late? And then they've kind of had success late running the ball in games, as we kind of saw, you know, in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think the Bears defense is really interesting because, you know, you look at where they're at. I think they're 26th in scoring defense. They're 27th in total defense. They're 28th against the run, right? There's only 32 teams in the league. So they're not very good against the run, but it's not like they're statistically good against the pass either. They're 22nd in the league in pass defense. They're the best in the league at intercepting the football, obviously, but they're not even good as a pass rushing team. So I think that it's kind of a pick your poison for Matt LaFleur because, you know, personally, if the one thing they do is take the ball away, you know, if you got a guy in Josh Jacobs who has a pretty good track record as protecting the football, and you've got a quarterback who's got a pretty good track record of not throwing interceptions, you're probably not scared of either of the things that they do defensively because they're kind of equally pedestrian there. I still believe that even though there's fans that wish he wouldn't do it, I still believe Matt LaFleur believes that it all starts with the run. And I thought that they started to turn a corner with the run game on Thanksgiving. You know, I think that they've got, you know, again, you are so much more insightful than I am when it comes to, you know, kind of discerning what their strengths are on the offensive line. But I think that they are probably, at this point, with their best group in terms of their run blocking, right? With, you know, Belton in the lineup, who, again, you know, you look at, we talked about the Pro Football Focus grades versus the Bulaga Football Focus grades. And regardless of how you view how he played, you grade him on the scale of being a rookie, but there's no getting beyond his size and his strength. I mean, he's just a big dude, and he gets movement at the point of attack. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think Sean Ryan, as we talked about yesterday, you know, I still believe that our guy Elgton Jenkins is a really good football player, but I don't know if he's a really good center. And it looks like there hasn't been a drop-off and maybe even a little bit of improvement at the center position. And Aaron Banks, who rightfully has been criticized for the way he played early in the season with injuries and inconsistency in and out of the lineup, Matt LaFleur said he feels like Banks has turned a corner. So with those guys in the interior, it's kind of what we were just talking about with the Bears and their run game. You know, you get your guards and your two guards and your center blocking well in the run game, that makes running the football a heck of a lot easier. The question that I have, and the reason why I'm not sure what the thought process will be, is I was talking to Josh Jacobs today, and despite not playing in the Minnesota game, and despite having kind of the mini bye week here after the Thursday Thanksgiving game, it doesn't sound like his knee feels a whole heck of a lot better. It's certainly better than when he first injured it on that turf at MetLife Stadium. But as I said to him, you know, I could see on Thanksgiving there was a play where Branch hit him low and hit him right on the knee. And you could see that it really bothered him. So there's no doubt that he's that he's not 100%. And if that's okay, the case, that should at least factor in some way to what they do.
All right, Jason, can you feel or mention and notice in any way from the coaches, the players, any of this being a special game or a bigger game than any game the way they've been this season?
No, I don't get that sense. Now, you know, Brian would obviously know that there's an old like TV commercial for like a deodorant. Never let them see you sweat. Like, I don't think these guys ever want us to be able to tell that they're more geeked up for a specific game. You know, if you're looking for bulletin board material, I haven't finished transcribing it yet. Talking with Josh Jacobs, he said it's a much bigger game this year because these guys are actually decent. So,
don't you really like everything he says? Is that fair?
I do. He's got no. He does not have a dishonest bone in his body. He's got a sore knee, but he's got no dishonesty in him.
And like, he says it pretty simply.
Right, like he said, we need a number one wide receiver, and my favorite comment. Like, I've had some great exchanges with him. I really enjoy him. Like, when I wanted to ask him about how many of his yards last season were after contact, and he finished the statistic for me as I was trying to give it to him. But another one of my favorites was when we were talking, and I said, you know, I asked him about how the other receivers took what he had said and about needing a number one. And he said, you know, I talked to him all directly. Like, I addressed it with him, and I said, you know, in fairness to you, dude, he didn't pick a wide receiver in the first round. He's like, right, that's what I said. So I think there's a feeling, and I don't know if that's just Josh or that's more people than that, but I think if there's any sort of vibe that I'm picking up, and I may just be wrong, so take this for whatever that's worth, I do think that they're kind of like, we don't believe in these guys, and we're going to go out there and show you that they're not the darlings that they are right now for the media and in the NFL. That's the vibe I get. Now, again, they have to play them twice in 3 weeks, but I think the Packers believe that they are the better team.
At home.
And when you at home, but yeah. I think they believe they're the better team, period.
But at home, it should become it should be a little even easier if home means
anything. Yeah, I would think so. But again, that's why they don't play the games on paper. That's why they play them on the grass,
Thanks,
which is
Jason.
Very cold right
yep.
now. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Woolley, all Packers all the time. You go to ESPN Wisconsin, the app, and you can follow everything he says. And it'll take a while, but it's worth it. Window Nation end of the year sale, 90% customer satisfaction. That's way more important than me telling you how great they are, and they are. But the customers believe that. It's cold here in Milwaukee, but that doesn't mean it's too late to take care of your windows, because Window Nation is right now. Whatever they can do it. Not now, but right now. Window Nation's end of the year sale. Get 50% off, plus you could get 0% interest for 5 years. One day, maybe the installation. One day. Back to the lifetime warranty, A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau sale. And soon, don't miss out on big savings. WindowNation.com to get started. More Brian Bulaga next.